So with Mother's Day being today and being on my mind throughout this whole week, I've of course been thinking about my mom and also been thinking about my family, just in general. And some of the, you know, more vivid stories that seem to come to mind when I do so. One of those stories I want to share with you all this morning has to do on a particular trip that we took to visit my uncle. My family, when we traveled, just so you all have an idea, we drove. Whether it was Manassas, whether it was Charlottesville, somewhere close, or whether it was the ends of the earth like New Hampshire or Minnesota, we drove. We got in the car at O Dark 30, and we drove. And these car rides, there were two categories. There were car rides that seemed somewhat uneventful, and then there were these things that became coined as Devilite's Family Adventures. That is a slogan mark, by the way. And this particular trip to visit my uncle, who lives in Minnesota, started like any other car ride. My mom woke us up early one morning and said it is time to get up and go, and so we got up and we went. And my sister and I were excited at the beginning and armed ourselves with blankets, with books, with stuffed animals, with Legos. We were armed with everything we thought we could possibly need for, you know, our life. And that excitement carried on until just after lunchtime that day. It was about that mid-afternoon point that it indeed shifted from being a car ride to a Devilite's Family Adventure. Now that comes up because there was the wrong turn that we took somewhere near Chicago. There was the time someone got carsick. There was the traffic we hit because of the wrong turn somewhere near Chicago. And there were the threats as soon as we cleared Chicago that if we didn't stop talking, the car would be turned around and we would go back through the traffic in Chicago. And somewhere through all of that, we are sensing, my sister and I, the frustration and the fatigue that my parents are feeling. And being good children, we want to empathize with them. And we want to empathize with them so much that we want to do justice to the pain they must be feeling and felt. It was good to voice it back to them. That's otherwise known as whining, by the way. And it is in that mess that we come upon this hotel. And the parking lot was finally empty. We passed so many hotels that were full and the parking lot was empty. And it was like this was going to be salvation. This was finally the justice that we deserved. There was a pool. We were so happy to be getting out of this prison cell of a car. And so my dad goes in to make the reservation. About 5 minutes later, he comes back out, gets in the car, and puts on his seatbelt. And to many protestations in the car as to why he would do such a thing, he turns and reveals to us this little story of how he went in and asked for a reservation, and they were like, "We're full." And he's like, "How can you possibly be full? There are no cars in this parking lot." And the man turned to him and said, "Well, I know all the cars are gone, but the people are still here." My dad has never driven so fast ever from that place. And it wasn't until miles down the road that the Devilite's family found God in an IHOP somewhere in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. So where I am now wired to feel this sense of resigned self-pity of the impending shenanigans that are certainly going to come as soon as I get up and go anywhere on anything that seems like an adventure. Wired to ask myself, what could possibly come next on any trip that I go on? Which is why this morning, as we read and hear about Philip's road trip and the ensuing adventure with this man known as a eunuch, that I personally wrestle a lot with how Philip may have felt throughout this whole thing. See, he too receives his directions on what to do from on high, though perhaps an angel of the Lord slightly outranks my mother, just a little bit. And so he gets up and goes. And the NRSV Bible makes a point to say that this trip from Jerusalem to Gaza was on a wilderness road. So, you know, he is in the middle of nowhere as he does this. And it is on this wilderness road that God tells Philip more direction. To go up to this random chariot and catch up to it. Why would you do that? Why? What is coming next? And that's what we find out. What we get to know is that this just isn't some random chariot. This man known as the Ethiopian eunuch is an important character in the life of a queen named Candace. Now, why does that matter? First thing, pretty much anyone with dark skin in that area at that time was called Ethiopian because they were so different from the Hebrew community that was in the Middle East. And Ethiopia was considered the ends of the earth, farther away than a car ride to Minnesota at that time. And as a eunuch, which is another church nerd word, really that we just have to understand to mean wasn't Jewish, he wasn't converted, he was just this guy who wanted to learn more about Isaiah. And so, quick poll, by the way, does anyone know what passage from Isaiah that got quoted in the scripture today was? Exactly. If you were at 9 o'clock, you might have an inkling. It comes from Isaiah chapter 53, which is a part of Isaiah. By the way, I looked that up too. They didn't teach me that in seminary. It was a reference to the Babylonian exile that the Hebrew people went through. It's considered a servant song. And so if we recap real quick, God has led Philip to a random foreigner on a road in the middle of nowhere, reading a passage about being in the middle of nowhere. You can't get any farther to the middle of nowhere than this. And we wonder what is the point of this? What could possibly come next? And so Philip asks this man if he understands what he's reading, and God bless him. He says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" See, I like that. Because the thing about scripture is just like on a road trip, it's really helpful to have directions when you're trying to read it, or else you end up at some hotel with all the people and no cars. It's a bad result. And so the man rereads this part that is really sad, actually, talking about someone being devastated and not treated the right way and an injustice. And the eunuch asks, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? Is it about himself or is it about someone else?" That kind of question probably came either just from straight-up curiosity, some worship service he had attended. As a foreigner, he would have been relegated to the outer parts of the temple to where not really anybody would have known as much what was going on or been able to explain to him. And so he wouldn't know that this passage from Isaiah is one that Jesus often identified himself with. But Philip does. And so suddenly this scripture that is written in the wilderness, being read on a chariot on a wilderness road by a guy who is from the ends of the earth, provides an opportunity for Philip to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And this man finds God in the middle of nowhere. And in case there's any doubt as to whether he actually found God or if it was just like a cool story that Philip was telling, he has the chariot pull over at some water. Now, it's really easy to picture that as a pond or a lake or some like picturesque setting. It could have been a pothole that got rained in. This man was so excited to be baptized, was so excited to hear what it meant that Christ loved him, that he wasn't going to wait to get home. He wasn't going to wait to figure out what church Philip went to. He wanted to be baptized then. And so he gets baptized. And as soon as that happened, Philip is whisked away. Another way to think about it is being snatched by the Spirit. Just poof, gone. And the eunuch doesn't even care. He is so happy to have been baptized. And he goes on his way rejoicing like it was the best pancakes he ever had in his life. Friends, this is just one of God's family adventures that shows how God's love is not limited by boundaries, be they physical, be they ethnic, be they political, be they time. There are no boundaries to God. All that is required is someone willing to go on the adventure. All is required is that we are willing to go on these adventures. To see that for all of the unknown and the wilderness and the middle of nowhere that is in this story, the one certainty is that the story begins, continues, and ends with God. Friends, these past few weeks, we have been talking about what it means to follow Him, to follow the risen Christ that we celebrated at Easter. To follow Him and ask questions like what could possibly come next. To follow Him because He said so to the ends of the earth, to follow him where we are needed, even in the middle of nowhere, to follow him and to get up and go on these new adventures. And the thing that always sticks with that is, just like the word adventure reminds me of certain things in my life, so does the word follow. And the word follow reminds us of that same resignation, that same frustration, that same fatigue, the same times we feel we need to voice to God what we must be knowing that God is feeling through all of this. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to go for these people that we don't even know? Aren't we there yet? Don't they know you yet? I'm tired of doing this. Friends, those are the moments that we hunger for a chance just to find God in our midst again. But hear the good news. For all of the unknown, for all of the times we yearn and have that hunger, God is there in our stories, in the beginning, as they go on, and as they end. These adventures that we're on with Christ, they're not just about how we find that God's love is greater than some other boundary, than some physical one, or some ethnic one, or some other kind of boundary that's out there. God's love is greater than our boundaries, too. That is the power and the message that is revealed in Christ at Easter. That we ourselves cannot contain God. There is no boundary that can keep God back. So friends, this morning, may we be reminded of the joy that comes when we get to where we are going. The joy that comes when we are fed after what seems like a ridiculous journey. Because God will not turn this car around. What God will do next is just awaiting us on the other side of those doors. The adventure that we are called on awaits us right outside those doors.